When I was trying to decide really on what to speak about today, I didn't know. And so I got my Bible out, got to looking through, and I came across this one of the parables here, and I decided I'd preach on it. It's Luke chapter 16. And the more information I gathered on it, it said the easiest way to preach Luke chapter 16 is to go directly from chapter 15 to chapter 17 and skip 16 altogether. And the more I studied it and the more I learned about it, the more I believe that's the truth. It's very difficult, and so I decided to attack it like I would if I was going to have to eat an elephant, one bite at a time. So we're just going to do two verses this morning out of Luke chapter 1, and we'll read a little more of the story, but I'd ask you please be standing with me now as we read the scripture. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be manager any longer.'" Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thankful again for the many blessings you give us. We're thankful for your scripture, Lord, and sometimes it is confusing, but we strive, Lord, to understand and take it as value because we know that the scripture is your word, and it is true. I'd ask that you would be with me this morning as I present the message, and that you would just be with everyone to receive it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So everybody knows what a parable is, I'm sure. It's just a story that Jesus told that related to a certain situation or whatever. He never actually used anyone's names, but he told stories and taught in a manner that the people could understand. Now, in this parable, as we go through it, the shrewd manager that we're going to talk about today is going to be you and I. And the rich person that has everything is, of course, is God or Jesus. So I'm going to continue reading here. We get on through verse 8. So the manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job, people will welcome me into their homes." So he called in each one of his master's debtors, and he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 800 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it out to be 400. And then he asked the second, "How much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than they are dealing with the people of light." I'm going to quit right there. Okay, let's talk about this manager. At first, you know, it appears that the rich man, like I say, is Jesus. The shrewd manager is you and I. And Jesus commended him for his dishonesty in the way he was dealing with his debtors. But that's really not the true lesson of this parable, the way I read it and the way I've studied it. As we look closer, and we're going to back up to verse 2, where it is said, "Give an account of your management because you cannot be manager any longer." Well, the manager had probably been living on the resources of the rich man for many years and probably living a lavish lifestyle, but he didn't work. And we assumed that he was really not taking very good care of the rich man's possessions, because otherwise the story wouldn't have got out that he was being wasteful with those possessions and got called before the rich man to start with. The charge that was very serious back in those days. And I guess it would be now. I guess you'd consider it embezzling or just not taking care of business, stealing. Now, he was going to have to give an account of what he had done with those resources. He never thought for a minute all those years that he was going to have to stand before the rich man or God and make an account for what he had done with his resources. He just lived his life like he wanted to. And I'd like for us to pause here for a minute. Think about that. Is that not the way that most of us live our lives today, now? Do we not squander our resources? Do we make use of everything we have like we should? Are we good stewards of what the good Lord has given us? I mean, we have a lot of things that he blesses with, not just money. Take, for instance, time. What do you do with your time? Each of us has the same amount of time to get things done. Everybody has 24 hours in a day. Now, granted, some of us will have more days left than others, but in that 24 hours, I mean, how many opportunities do you have to use your resources that God gave you for the betterment of God's kingdom? Do you read the Bible every day? Do you pray with him every single day? Do you take time to do that? Do you tell others about him? Do you evangelize? Do you serve the Lord at church? I mean, there's so many ways. You know, I'm in the public all the time working on people's cars, and I come in contact with a lot of people in a week's time. A lot of them I know, several of them I don't know. And every person you meet and come in contact with, you have an opportunity to use the resources that God has placed within you to reach someone. You know, you might just say, have a blessed day. It could be that simple. It could be anything. You just need to train yourself to use the resources that God has blessed you with. Y'all bear with me, because this was really a hard one for me. I've been struggling with it for 2 or 3 days. We often do things or say things on impulse, and we don't think about the long-lasting implications of what we say or do might bring. We often buy things we want, even if we can't afford them. Houses, vehicles, all kinds of possessions. We tend to think, if I just buy this car or this truck or maybe this tractor or maybe this outfit and a purse or maybe a new pair of shoes or a new computer, it might satisfy that itch for a little bit, you know, that need for something new, that new possession. We all have that, every one of us. We have I don't know what it is, but we have the need for stuff. That's why storage buildings are prevalent everywhere in every city. People buy stuff. They have more stuff than they can store. And I'm guilty of that myself, y'all. Ask my wife. Don't ask any specifics, but I'm a pretty good customer of Amazon. I see something I want, click, 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 and here it comes. Isn't that right, John? Okay, let me get on down here. So each and every one of us have been entrusted with a blessing from God, something that we're good at. John, I told you I was going to talk about you, so are you ready? Each one of us are decidedly different, but each of us are blessed with a special gift. Some of us can cook. Mary's been making bread for a week. Some of us can draw. Some of us are technical wizards like John. He just makes it work. I don't know how, but it happens. Some of us build things. Gerald spent his entire life building things. He built most of this church. And some of us are good at public speakers like Travis. He did a great job this morning on a children's sermon. I'd give anything to have your voice that would just carry out there without this microphone. But we all have a special skill, something that we're really good at and we enjoy doing. But do we use that for God? Do we use that for His glory and to build up His kingdom? I'm asking you, how do you use yours? And here's another one. How about your influence? You know, that's a huge and very important resource that God gives us. We often don't realize the influence that we have on others. Not just our words, but our actions. Sometimes our actions speak a whole lot louder than our words do. It's possible that somebody come in here and sit on the front row of the church and look like they're Christians and strong Christians, but through the week, who knows what they do? I mean, you have to not just talk the talk. You have to walk the walk. You have to live a Christian life and use what God gave you. Get back to influence. What about our kids? You know, we have influence on our children. We're actually the ones that raise them. Now, when they get older, not so much, but then you got grandkids that you have influence over. But there are so many things that we have influence over. From what you're going to have to supper, are you going to church tonight, this, that, other. Every single thing we do has an influence on the kingdom of God and what we do. We can influence our friends at work, at church, at school. How about sports? How many times have we witnessed a parent or a person shouting and acting in a highly unchristian way at a ball game, maybe even actions of an official? Boy, I could really get started off on a tangent on that because I've been to some doozies, and I'm sure all of y'all have too. But I know that you know what I mean. God gives us a certain skill set. Some of us are good at some things, some are other. That's why He made us all different. Can you imagine what we could get done if every one of us here in this church used our own specific skill set and turned ourselves over to God all at the same time? What we could get done. I mean, what we got in here now, 45, 50? But there's so many things that we could accomplish if we worked together. And that's what this church is all about. I'm proud of our church, and I'm proud to be a part of it, because just like Lurleen's talking about the Fun Rock, everybody pitches in, we work together, we have a good time, and we all do it for the glory of God. And I think that's what He wants us to do. And that's what this parable is about. See, the shrewd manager didn't worry about having to make accountability for his actions, what he was doing. He never dreamed that the word was going to get out that he was going to have to go before his boss and make an explanation for what he had done with all those resources. So this parable is about, don't wait until that time that you're going to have to go stand before your boss and be judged. Live your life as accordingly as you go along day to day and live your life for Christ. You won't have to worry about it. You won't have to make atonement or give a description of what you've done with everything God's given you to use. We all fall short, all of us. I mean, there's a lot of times when I go do other things when I should be up here at the church working on the lights or something like that, you know, donating my time here. But there's, by the fact that we all have 24 hours a day, I'd like to say there's, we all only have 24 hours in a day. Sometimes I'd like to have 30 to get everything done, but it doesn't work that way. So what I'm trying to say is, and the point that I'm trying to make here is this. Every single one of us someday will be called before God to give an account of what we have done with the resources He blessed us with. Don't wait until the last minute to try to secure your future like the shrewd manager did. Only after he learned that he was fixing to lose his job and he would no longer be the manager that he would be required to give an account of how he managed his master's resources. Don't wait until you're laying on your deathbed and try to make amends to God and say, God, I'm sorry I did all this all these years. I know I've got 15 minutes left. Please accept me and forgive me for what I did. And I'm sure He will. But the point is, He gives us these resources. He expects us to use them to work for Him. Now, I want to stress here, I wrote this in big letters, that Jesus was not approving of the manager's dishonesty. No, He wasn't. But He was approving the fact that he did come to action to secure his future by using the resource he had in hand, which in this case was his master's debtors, the people that owed him money. He used them in order to, in his mind, secure his future after he lost his job. And that's what we're being called to do, to use our skills, our resources, and our wisdom to secure our future in heaven. Now, there are many places in the Bible that emphasize being ready for God when He returns. The first one that comes to my mind is about the bridesmaids. That half of them ran out of oil, the other half didn't. Five of them missed the boat. And speaking of boat, how about Noah? If Noah hadn't been ready when the flood came, none of us would be here now. I mean, that's just the way it is. So I'd like to add that our evening study on Revelation has really been an eye-opener for me about the time we may or may not have left, especially with all the stuff that's going on in the Middle East over here right now and all the events that's going on in Jerusalem. It's scary, folks, if you just sit down and read how that goes along with this, what's going on and what the Bible says is going to happen. The end times could be near. We don't know that, but they could be. Anyway, knowing about what the book of Revelation says, it kind of puts a sense of urgency in me to try to do a better job of using my resources to work for the Lord. And I encourage each of you to do the same. Make a little extra time for the Lord every single day. Do something for Him. It won't be wasted time, I promise.